T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The final out has been made. Let's talk about what just happened. The good and the bad. It's time for the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, with the franchise, Tim Allen, on The Fan. If you need doors and windows, go to PellaWI.com.
It is a final from St. Louis. The game, the series, as well as the road trip, and the results are good. Welcome in, everybody. It is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Tim Allen and Austin, Texas, here as the Brewers get a 9-3 victory over the St. Louis Cardinals in Game 3 of this three-game set. And a huge win for the Brewers. A huge win for the Brewers here after, what, 9 games now? A 5-4 mark and series victories in their last 2 series. Suddenly the crew has won 4 of their last 5 games. And when you take a little inventory, guys, against the Minnesota Twins, then you hit the road to Chicago and St. Louis, and you come out of that with a 5-4 mark, I don't care what team you are, Dodgers, Yankees, you name it, you got to be okay with that, considering it's a 5-4 mark. And you couldn't ask for much more than that. Although, with a little bit of offense in those first 7 games, Brewers probably should have an additional victory here, but we'll take this at 5-4 as they kind of set the tone here in the division that, yeah, this is going to be a dogfight all season long, as the Brewers get the victory today. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell today. Really looking forward to hearing from Counsell, because there's some injury issues here. Obviously, Colton Wong to the IL yesterday, but Christian Yelich removed in the 2nd inning today due to back pain or discomfort or whatever tag they want to put on that. And also Travis Shaw with the ankle removed mid-game. But so really looking forward to hearing from Craig Counsell today as the Brewers finish up the 6-game road trip into Chicago and St. Louis with a 4-2 mark. And indeed, they'll take that. Brett Anderson on the hill today for the Brewers as they scored the 9 runs today, 9 runs yesterday in their first 7 games of this season, this championship season. They scored 18 total runs. And you do the math, this one's pretty easy. In the last 2 games, they've scored 18. So 20 in the first 7, 18 in their last 2. And I like this. You follow up a 9-run output, and how many times have we taken some calls, and how many times have you said it in a runaway victory? Save some for tomorrow. Save the, and it's inevitable that it happens where you score like 2 or 1 the next day. It didn't happen today. Brewers get... they get the big victory, scoring 9 of them today. Let's hit the game recap, and it didn't take long for Lorenzo Cain to get things going. First pitch of the game, a double off the wall, and then Daniel Vogelbach in a 1-2 count laces this RBI base hit.
The 1-2 on the way. This one rolled into right field, a base hit. And Lorenzo Cain comes around and scores the Brewers' first run of the game. Well done, first 2 in the batting order.
That's a great count, so pushing the right buttons, getting Vogelbach back in the lineup and hitting him right behind Cain.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday, guys, as you get a couple of ground ball pitchers in this starting rotation for the Brewers this year, and it so happens to line up Adrian Houser and Brett Anderson, the two ground ball pitchers, back-to-back. Okay, that being said, with Wong out, let's keep this in mind. It's a good day to have Keston Hira take one of those days off for now. Just for now, I think that, you know, will help him in his defensive struggles. It will help him in, you know, getting a little more consistent offensively. So Council did just that today. Keston off, Vogelback in there on at first base, and he laces first at bat. A Brewers on the board, two batters in, one zip. Now, Christian Yelich up, and we've been watching this, or at least I have been, and I've been asking you guys to take a little bit of a look at fastballs being taken or fouled back by this Brewers offense. Yelich up for his first at-bat. He's up 2-0 in the count. Watches strike one fastball, dead red, 2-0, fastball count, and he watches the fastball down the middle. Christian, I don't have too much to argue with you about overall, but man, go back to the basics here. I mean, he's a singles hitter right now, and the power is going to get there. So the fourth pitch of the sequence, then a fastball. Again, straight back, he fouls it. And then what happens? Now you're 2-2, and you're wondering what he's going to throw you. There it is, the junk, and he tries to go the other way. He flies out to left. Garcia then steps up, and we all know what he did yesterday with a five knocked in, a two-run homer, a two-run double, a bases-loaded walk. Well, sit back, enjoy this one. This was his first at-bat with a man aboard.
Garcia yesterday 2-for-4 in that game, and this one hammered into left field, way back into that bullpen. A home run for Avi Garcia, his second of the season, and Milwaukee now out in front 3-0.
Pretty much the same pitch that he hit out in yesterday's game. Fastball middle in, and he did not miss it. Boy, he's starting to heat up.
Yeah, that one he did not miss. The Brewers offense did not miss that fastball right there. 3-0, just four batters into the ball game. Wow, Brewers up early in this one. Brewers looking for more. A four-pitch walk to Travis Shaw. And then Manny Pena rocks a double, second and third. Three in, just one out. Runners on second and third. Jace Peterson goes deep count, a seven-pitch at-bat, a shallow pop-up to left for that second out. That brings up Urias. They intentionally walk him to load the bases. That brings up Brett Anderson. They bat around in the first inning today. Anderson up in the count 3-0, takes a couple of strikes, and then he's going to sit back and watch this full count pitch.
Let's see if he can hit the target, or will he miss and get the Brewers another run? At the bottom of the strike zone, man. And Milwaukee will take it and plate another. It's 4-0.
That looked like a pretty good pitch.
Wow, they put up four in that first inning. That bases loaded walk to Anderson, that had to be just humiliating. You did hear some fans laughing in the background there. Lorenzo Cain flies out to end the inning, but four hits, four runs, a couple of walks, and a 4-0 lead into the bottom of the first inning. Brett Anderson needs the shutdown inning in the first and gets it. However, did give up a couple of hits, a leadoff base hit. Falls behind Goldschmidt 3-1. Comes back to get Goldschmidt to hit into a double play. That was big. A base hit for Arenado. Falls behind Molina 3-0. Comes back to work it 3-1 and gets a ground ball to end the frame. Again, Brett Anderson was not super sharp today. He just wasn't, but just good enough. Brewers offense putting up some numbers in the second inning. Leadoff walk to Daniel Vogelback. Yelly then with a base hit, then a pop-up to Garcia. Travis Shaw steps up, and how about Travis this season?
Travis Shaw to right field. How far will it go? A monster shot for Travis Shaw. A three-run home run. And Milwaukee exploding here in St. Louis. And a big lead now of 7-0 in the second inning.
Wow. 7-0 after, what, an inning and a third there? Travis Shaw, just amazing. Yeah, so far, so good for the returning Brewer here in the 2021 championship season. That chases Daniel Ponce de Leon. 50 pitches through an inning and a third and seven earnings given up in that through the second inning. Oviedo to come in from the bullpen. You got to credit this dude because he shut the Brewers down for 4 1/3 out of the bullpen. That kept the Cardinals in that game. Let's see here. He was greeted by Manny Pena, one of his eventual three hits in the ball game for Manny Pena. Seven hits for the crew to that point. Jace Peterson strikes out, and Urias grounds out to end that frame. Three up in the second, 7-0 into the bottom of the second inning. Brett Anderson into some trouble here. As I said, he wasn't super sharp. After a flyout, he walks a man, then allows a base hit. Couple of runners aboard with just that one out. More trouble as he walks the eight hitter to load the bases. Goes full to the pitcher, but gets him to hit a ground ball. It does score the run. It's 7-1 at that point. Two outs, two on with that one in. And then he gets a line out to finally end the frame. Anderson Wild, he was about 50 pitches after two innings, but Brewers maintain a six-run lead. And that's, you know, where Christian Yelich in that bottom of the second was removed. For Jackie Bradley Jr. turns out to be back soreness is what the reports were. Stick around for counsel's comments on that. Brewers empty in order in the third. Brett Anderson out for the third, settles in, sort of, a quick couple of outs, Goldschmidt and Arenado, but Molina hits him for a double and gets a ground ball to Shaw to get out of it. Shaw's defense has been amazing, too. I think, you know, underappreciated here thus far. Brewers 1-2-3 in the fourth. Let's see, second consecutive innings, they went three up, three down. Another two-out base hit given up by Anderson in that fourth, but he's hanging in there into the fifth inning with the Brewers up six. Brewers foot traffic in that fifth inning. Pena and Peterson with walks. Urias hits into a fielder's choice. Runners at the corners for Brett Anderson, and he bunts into a double play. With the shift, it was a 2-6-4 double play, so figure that one out. First clean inning for Anderson, 1-2-3 in the bottom of that fifth inning. Sixth inning coming in as the Brewers, nothing again. Anderson's day is done with those five innings, just the one run given up. But again, you know, when you don't have your best up stuff and you can go five with just the one run given up, we'll take that, no question about it. Yardley in all sorts of trouble in the sixth inning, walks a leadoff man, hits the second man, flares single to the third man, bases loaded, nobody out. Next man up, an opposite field, two-run double. Wow. 7-3, nervous time. Two in, two on, nobody out. And a huge double play, a comebacker to Yardley, checks the runner at third. He's not going anywhere. The runner at second is, though. He goes to first real quick to get the one out. Vogelbach runs straight at the corner. A little bit of a rundown. They get the double play right there. Two huge outs right there. Carpenter in to pinch hit. Flies out to end the mess. But they get two. They minimize the damage. Big, big, big in that sixth inning to keep it a four-run lead for the Brewers. Three up, three down for the Brewers in the seventh. J.P. Fireisen coming on for the bottom of the seventh. J.P. does what J.P. does. Just a two-out walk and a scoreless frame. Wow, what a season for J.P. Fireisen. You know, we're talking about that bullpen all the time here as of late, needing another arm. Well, they may have found it in J.P. Fireisen. Brewers asking for some insurance in the eighth inning. Leadoff walk to Urias, steals second on the strikeout to McKinney. Wild pitch moves him over to third. Kane then draws a walk. Runners at the corners with the one out. And a new pitcher coming in for St. Louis. Enough of Hicks as Schilt. Kane steals second, and Vogelbach strikes out. Big out right there. Bradley Jr. pops up to end the frame. It stays 7-3 into the bottom of the eighth inning. Boxberger in 1-2-3 for Brad Boxberger. That's huge for the Brewers right-hander. Ninth inning. Brewers, Garcia reaches on error, moves over to second base on a fielder's choice by Robertson and Manny Pena. How about Manny Pineapple?
Pena to left, and look at this one fly way back. Manny Pena, three-hit day, his first home run of 2021, and there's some insurance runs for you.
Man, it took a while.
A triple shy of the cycle for Manny Pena today. He was 3-for-4 with a walk, single, double, two-run home run for Manny, as that pretty much puts it away. And it was big, guys, and I'll tell you why it was big. And I was eyeballing this. If they could attack on and get this lead to 5, 6, 7 runs, it would allow Council to go to Drew Rasmussen, who's only had two outings this year. And he is, are they still one arm short in that bullpen? They might be, and Drew Rasmussen might be the guy. But I was looking for that, and Manny provided that, and it allowed Drew Rasmussen to get in there and shut this thing down, have some success there. Did give up a base hit, but certainly a feel-good outing for Drew Rasmussen. And there's your final, 9-3 the final, as the Brewers take the game in the series. And for his good and bad as the Brewers have been playing this year, because there were some bad, stretches here. Will you take the 5-4 as a success? And I will just answer that question right away. I will, based on the schedule. Yes. Because, playing good baseball, you're probably coming out of this thing with at least one additional victory, and namely the offense. Now, the Brewers' starters, Brett Anderson, did give up a run through five innings, and that did break a string. Here's one for the ages. Four consecutive starts for Brewers' starters, going at least five innings, allowing no earned runs. They've only done that in franchise history one other time, and that was back in my heyday of 1976. That was Jim Slayton, Bill Travers, Jimmy Slayton, number 41, Billy Travers, number 25, and then Jim Colburn, number 48, and then Jim Slayton again back into the rotation on the other side. Four consecutive outings. So the last five outings, one time through with this starting rotation, their starters have given up a run in a minimum of five innings for each per start. And don't look now. Still a lot to unpack on this game, but don't look now. You talk starting pitching, Peralta, Woodruff, and Burns to face the Chicago Cubs in a three-game set starting tomorrow. That puts in for a good thought, doesn't it? Want to get your reaction here at 414-799-1250. The 5-4 start, is that sort of successful in your mind? Because I say it is based on the schedule. And the more I look at this schedule, you've got the Cubs for three, then you get a little respite there for Pittsburgh. It's playing a little bit better. But nonetheless, they're the Pittsburgh Pirates, a rebuild organization, clearly. Then you have the Padres, and you have the Cubs, then you have the Dodgers. This schedule is brutal the first month, and they're hanging tough. And that's why my answer is yes. Could they have a better record? I think so. I think it's fair to say the offense hits one additional win. So you go from 5-4 to 6-3. But that 5-4 mark, with what you've seen here now, you lose the opening game of each of the past two series in Chicago and St. Louis. You bounce right back to take games 2 and 3 in each of them. We'll get to Craig Council in a bit. Let me squeeze in Ken. Kenny, who's been holding on, my friend in West Bend. We call him Beer Count. Kenny, a 9-3 victory today. What's going on, Kenny?
Jimmy, always good to talk to you. Fabulous. My debut on the show this year.
Yes, sir.
Last year, I had to take the year off because, let's just face it, we just weren't going to see any decent baseball last year. I don't care what anybody was going to say. Too much nonsense going on. However, 5-4 record, this is outstanding. It's all about winning series, Tim. As you know, you got to win series. Now, granted, they didn't win that Minnesota series, but here's the thing. You now, with some of the moves the Brewers have made, meaning Stearns, forcing the hand of counsel. What do I mean? Getting rid of Arcia was outstanding. Why? Putting Shaw at third, fabulous. These guys, we need to put guys in regular, everyday positions. This platooning, guys, is nonsense. When you start getting more consistency in the lineup, you will have your guys hitting better. I don't care what anybody says. I played the game for many years. You have to have that everyday, in-the-lineup type of play, and as you start having that, you're going to get more consistency out of the bat. This platooning, guys, it's all well and good, but here's the deal. As the season goes on, the pitching looks good. The middle relief looks good. I'm impressed with what they're doing right now. And as we continue to see this team progress through this month, next month, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. You know, as you know, Tim, winning series, can they win 90-plus games? You win series, you will win 90-plus games. And the BC's at 11 only.
Yeah, no doubt, Kenny. I love winning series. There's no question. Yep. And in division here, I think it can't be underlooked. You have to look at in division. It's a loss for them and a win for you. Two-game swing here. Yep. If anyone thinks, you know, I heard Levering and Grindle talking on the broadcast today. And they were almost poking fun at people that look at standings right now. And I say hogwash. Exactly.
Yeah. I agree. Because a win is a win no matter when it is in the season. Remember, you can poke fun at it now, but if you were to lose these games and then later on in the season you'd miss the playoffs because of these early losses, who's poking fun at it then? The fact of the matter is that every game counts, and this team is playing as if every game counts. You can see the way these guys are with each other, how they're talking to each other when they're walking through the dugout. They've got a swagger about them. I think they got a quiet swagger about them that says, you know what, look who we got on our squad. Look what we're doing. Get ready, because Milwaukee's not going anywhere.
All right, good deal. Kenny, thanks, man. I'm going to catch up on that beer count in about an hour and a half or so. So I'll be right on your tail here very soon. Brewers with a night game tomorrow, and they're obviously off tonight. Wonder what Tim's going to be doing here. 414-799-1250. It is the Pella Windows Wisconsin postgame show. Driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, Brewers take the series. They win today, 9-3 the final. They now, through the first 9 games, 3 series against some pretty stiff competition in Minnesota, Chicago, and St. Louis. They're on the front end of that 500 mark, 5-4. Is that okay? I mean, is that okay? I don't know if it's anything to celebrate New Year's Eve with, but it's pretty good. I'm good with that. All things considered, no doubt. Take your calls. Get to Craig Council coming up. Definitely need an update on some of these bumps and bruises. Yelly and Shaw removed from the ball game today. We'll be back. 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
Let's hear what you thought of today's game on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show. Driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On The Fan. Call Tim Allen now at 414-799-1250. Or tweet the show at 1250 AM, The Fan.
Speaking of Twitter, there is an interesting tweet from a gentleman, that might be a loosely fitting term there, a dude by the name of Wilson Contreras, who was just fined for some reason. This is Brewers related, plus it's a tweet that involves the opposition for tomorrow. Yeah, Austin, let's just get to that now. Mike, we'll get to you in a second here. I want to know from you guys at 414-799-1250 if indeed this is okay, this 5-4 mark, and the way you view this, because there's a lot of different ways you can view this. You know, maybe they're lucky. They had a couple of good games. They put up 9 yesterday offensively, 9 today offensively. And those little blips are going to happen. It's not an indicator of what or who these guys are. You could look at it a different way. The Twins, the Cubs, and the Cardinals, it's pretty stiff competition, guys. and they come out of this winning two of those three series and really wasting a an outstanding performance from Corbin Burns in the Twins series, really probably should be 6-3. But are, you know, how do you view this at a 5-4 mark through these nine games? All right, Wilson Contreras is going to be at American Family Field tomorrow. Those of you going in, just boo the living daylights out of this guy, because before you hear the tweet, I want to just reiterate what I feel of Wilson Contreras. First of all, I'm not a big fan. I would love him, I would think, if he were a Brewer. He's one of those guys. You know, you hate him because he's on the other team. If you had him, you'd love him. Probably. Anytime there's a little dust up between the Chicago Cubs and Milwaukee Brewers, who is right in the middle of it? Now, again, I don't know exactly who the catalyst is, but I got a good guess. It's an educated guess that it's Wilson Contreras, right? In the middle of it. Almost, in fact, I don't remember a time where he wasn't. So he tweeted out something today, Austin, right?
He was interviewed and asked.
Oh, it was an interview. Okay.
Yeah, he was asked about the situation, and he was quoted saying after the benches clearing brawl last week, I guess you'd call it brawl, benches clearing incident last week, he was fined $7,500 by the MLB for breaking COVID rules. So he was quoted saying, "They said I broke the COVID rules, but I was trying to defend my health. Because that pitch that hit my head could have ended my career."
Could have. Yeah, it could have.
Maybe you should stop leaning into pitches, too. That might help.
That's why you're paid millions of dollars. Because those accidents happen. Boxberger was not trying to hit you in the head, dude. So anyway, and in a weird way, I sort of understand his angle a little bit, his perspective on this, since we're talking health. Hey, man, I'm getting hit in the head. I'm pissed. Right? And yet the MLB is saying, hey, we're trying to protect health too with COVID. So I could see it both ways. But look out, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Wilson Contreras. Let's see if he's right in the middle of it again. My guess is, if it happens, yes. All right, how do you view this 5-4 mark? Again, consider the competition. Consider the new players on this team. Just have all the considerations in line here in your grading scale here of these first three series. Mike in Greenfield, you're next. What's going on, Mike?
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Shoot.
Okay. I am really pumped. I missed a couple of the last games. I don't know exactly why, but with the pitching, and now the offense is catching up with the pitching, Shaw is going to have a great year. Couple of the other guys, Garcia and I can't think of his name. He had a bad field day yesterday.
Keston Hira.
But he did make up for it with the bats. Hook is working out to be a good pitching coach. You know, we were disappointed, I think, was it Maddox that left and kind of shook us up. But I'm pumped. And I think this could be the Brewers' year.
So Mike, let me just ask you, the 5-4 mark, is that anything to write home about? Are you happy with that, or are you like, it's kissing your sister, it's horse apiece?
No, I'm happy with it. First of all, they lost the first game of the series, the two series they won. They bounced back and won the next two games. They're gamers, you know, and they're... You know, they're talking to each other. I was listening today that the pitchers are, you know, helping each other, competing against each other. It's a healthy environment. The pitching's looking really good. And I think if the offense continues to, come on. Well, look at Kane. Kane is having, I don't know what his average is, but he's doing good. And Yelich, that's just a little bump in the road for him with his back. But he's starting to come on, batting .321. I'm thinking, are we going to miss that Braun isn't playing because of the DH? And you brought up a good point. Council is a National League manager, and he's great at it, as much as we criticize him at times. So I'm looking
forward to it. He is good at it. Yeah. He is good. Mike, hey, thanks for the call. Mike, and he's got a lot of toys to play with here. He really does. He's got some versatile players that can play around the diamond, especially now. I mean, Just going to Travis Shaw, for example. I mean, second, third, if you needed him, he could play first base. Urias played third last year. Played a little second base in San Diego. Obviously can play shortstop. Robertson all over the place. Jace Peterson all over the place. He's got some moves to make here. And that does fit well. You mentioned Chris Hook there. And I may have, as good as the projections were of this pitching staff, I'm talking the starters, I personally may have underestimated how good they are. Now, again, it's three series. It's essentially two times through the rotation. I thought the offense would be a little bit better than it is. Now it's starting to come around. I get it. But I did think the offense was going to be better. And I knew the pitching was going to be good, but like this good? Really? Like Atlanta Braves good? in a way? I mean, in the last five games, the starters have gone a minimum of five innings each. And there has been one run scored. One earned run, I should say. Hauser gave up unearned one yesterday. One earned run in five consecutive starts for this rotation. I mean, you can't ask for anything more. It's almost inconceivable that they could pitch any better than they are right now. So will they come back down to earth a little bit? Yep, probably. How much back down? I don't know if it's much, guys. I don't. Now, this is a huge start for Freddy Peralta tomorrow. This is sort of, is Freddy really going to be Freddy in the starting rotation, or is this going to be, we tried it for six or eight starts, and here we are in late June, and it's just not working out. We're going to move him back to the bullpen, or is this going to be, wow, ever since he got put into that rotation, he's been off and running, and he ain't looking back. So it is a big start for Freddie tomorrow. Man, maybe I have underestimated the starting rotation just a tick. Brett Anderson today was not super sharp, but, I mean, that's what decent pitchers do. They hang tough when they don't have their stuff. And really, the home plate umpire, I'm still trying to figure out this year's strike zone a little bit because I'm confused by this. Do they want it tight? It seems like they want it tight, but then again, they want it up. Do they want it up and not down? Do they want the launch angle? Do they not want the... I'm trying to figure all this out. So let's get to Craig Counsell here in just a couple of minutes. Looking forward to the update on Yelich and Shaw. And just something to think about here during the break. Our last caller mentioned Lorenzo Cain. Okay, I'm going to try and say this as nice as I can say this. Until Colton Wong is back, at the very bare minimum, if not beyond that, Lorenzo Cain is your leadoff hitter, Craig. He's not only your leadoff hitter, he's your leader. Leave him lead in the leadoff position. Does that make sense? My goodness, what are we not seeing here? Lorenzo Cain leads this team, and he should lead off. Now tomorrow, if I see otherwise, we're just putting whoever, pick a name. We're just putting him up there to get him going. We're going to give Avi, he's hot, and he's got it going, and we're going to have him lead off. And Lorenzo Cain is back down to fifth or sixth. Awful, awful, awful move. Lorenzo Cain. Would you agree with that, Austin? You're big, huge, one of the biggest Brewers fans I know.
I think it just makes way too much sense to leave him in the leadoff. Even when Wong comes back, if he's having production in the leadoff spot, put Wong at two.
I would actually sit down with him.
You just bump people down a spot. If it's working, don't fix what ain't broke.
I would literally, this is what I'd do if I'm counsel. I don't tell anybody about it. I don't tell the media I'm doing this. This is a behind-the-scenes thing. I'm meeting with Colton Wong, and I'm meeting with Lorenzo Cain. And we're just going to have a little chat during BP or something, just off on the side. And I'm going to say, guys, you guys are the leadoff hitters. Lowe, against any lefties, you're the leadoff man. Colton, against any right-handers, which is going to be a lot, you're going to be our leadoff guy. Does that make sense to everybody? To me, it does. You're platooning everywhere, anywhere, anyway. You're moving things around. Now, I know our first caller today said enough with the platoons. No, that's kind of the way they play. That's just what they do. He's not going to change that. In fact, he opened up the curtain a little bit, gave you a little sneak peek yesterday during the postgame, did Craig Counsell on Travis Shaw. He alluded to the fact that, well, Travis is doing great offensively. We haven't faced a lot of lefties yet. What does that tell you? That's cryptic for as soon as the lefty starts, Travis is going to be sitting on the bench. That's what that means. But we'll see. Stranger things have happened. Let's get to Craig Counsell. That's next. It's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Brewers take the game and the series 9-3. A little bit of a runaway in this one. Three home runs hit by the crew today. Manny Pena, Avisail Garcia, and Travis Shaw with a three-run bomb. And some pretty decent relief pitching in this one outside of Yardley. Yardley still having a few problems here. 9-3 the final. We'll be back. 12:50 a.m. The Fan and Odyssey Station.
What was the deal with the lineup? Why did he make that bullpen move? Why did he pinch hit with that guy? Time to get all of those questions answered and more with Scoop from the Skipper. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On The Fan.
Yeah, big-time win for the crew today as they take care of St. Louis. Welcome back, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin post-game show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. 9-3 the final here, and you know, I was just thinking during the break there, these are two huge series victories. And I find myself saying, well, could they be a little bit better? For sure. And I think that's always the effort, but the results have these guys losing a tough-fought series against the Minnesota Twins, where your offense just was gone. And outside of opening day, you had that big dramatic comeback on opening day, but outside of that, it just disappeared on you. That's a tough Minnesota Twins team. Interdivision, here in the Central, against Chicago, at Wrigley, with fans back, Wilson stirring up trouble again. And then you end up taking two of three there. You go into St. Louis to open up their home portion of the schedule, and you take two of three there. These are huge series victories, guys. They are. They're setting the tone a little bit here in the Central. That's what I like. You know, this, always looking uphill for a team, or even some of these hitters that are just, they're digging a little bit of a hole. Urias is one that's digging a little bit of a hole. We all know it's well documented with Keston, but as a team, you could do the same thing too. You come out of the chute here 2-7, and you could say, well, you know, once the offense gets going, you start taking a few series, get back to 500. That whole mantra of, you know, get back around 500, then start making hay a little. No. This is the baseline. This is the low end of that, is right around where they're at now. And so having those three tough series, it's not such a horrible thing right now. And it wouldn't surprise me, guys, if, you know, you fast forward, another 25 games or so, get through the tougher portion of the schedule, it wouldn't surprise me that they're at or around 500 at that point, maybe a game or two or three above, would not be such a bad thing. So when we look at the 5-4 mark, I don't think we should look at it, you know, sideways and say, it's 5-4, guys. Come on, don't go crazy. It is pretty good. based on the schedule, based on their offense. I mean, it is pretty decent. Let's get to Craig Counsell, see if we can get an update on the Christian Yelich back and the Travis Shaw ankle and the team as a whole. Here's Counts after the victory.
Craig, the offense seemed to pick right up where they left off yesterday. You scored late yesterday and then early today. And, you know, Avi and Travis in particular, good now.
Yeah, it was a great start to the game for sure. Just giving us that lead right away and giving Brett some room to breathe. But, you put 7 runs on the board in the first 2 innings, and that changes the game considerably. And we did a nice job today at that, and finished off a good road trip.
Craig, the foundation of a lot of stuff on the trip was starting pitching.
Yeah.
And Brett, you know, those long innings, he said maybe we're a little tough early to find a rhythm, but just the last five guys sort of all put you in a position to win all those games, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is it's a strength of the team. We thought that, and they've delivered thus far in the season. They've all been wonderful so far, all done their job, and each time out, given us a chance to win. And, today the offense put Brett in a good position, but thus far this season, it's our starting pitching that's given us a chance to win every day, and that's a pretty good formula.
Did you have an update on Christian or Travis and how they're doing?
Yeah, similar. Christian's it's low back tightness, day to day. And Travis is a right shin contusion, and it'll be the same day to day. We'll see how they're doing tomorrow. Not ruling them out. We'll see how they get there when they get to the field.
A really big play in that game turned out to be that kind of weird double play that Yardley helped turn by fielding that high chop. I mean, they got 2 runs in, second and third, no outs. That's been a different outcome there.
Yeah, it changed the game for sure. I thought Vogie made a really patient play, and then Jace was kind of coaching him through it, yelling at him as he was kind of slowly running over there. But we handled it really well, I thought. We took advantage of a mistake, and it bought us an out, and it got yards through the inning.
Then after that, your last 3 guys were really crisp. I mean, the last thing you want to do is let a team back in when you got a big lead, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, those 3 guys did a nice job. JP Feierheisen's been a bit of an unsung hero so far. I think he's pitched a lot. He's pitched well. He's covered all his innings beautifully. Brad Boxberger had a really good trip too, pitching some big spots. And then Manny's homer, gave us some breathing room there, so we didn't have to get Josh up or anything like that, which is nice going into the next series. So good. Team effort today that puts us into good shape kind of moving forward.
Sometimes you need a little luck, and Brett was talking about that line drive that Edmund smoked right at Travis.
Yeah.
And finally got him out of that tough inning. Then he sort of settled in after that.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that was a very well hit ball, and we were in the right spot. So we caught a break there, no doubt. And that's Brett's part of Brett's game. The ball is going to be on the ground. There's some days when it's not going to be at people. That's, we've dealt with that with Adrian, feels like, quite a bit. But we caught a break on there. Even in the first inning, I thought Brett did a nice job. The first guy gets on. After we score a bunch, and then that double play wiped out that inning. I thought that was just a big part too, where they don't get themselves kind of going right away. So, after that inning, it was – he worked hard that inning, caught a break to get out of it, and then he was really good in the last 2.
Craig, was Manny's homer big for you? Until that, Oviedo had done a really nice job of keeping your guys down and sort of giving them a chance maybe to get back in it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Manny's home run is one of those that just it kind of set us up moving forward. Where we didn't, Brad was probably going to go out there for a second inning and be able to get him out of there. So now we got everybody available for tomorrow. So that's kind of the thought of, you know, why that's a big add-on runs. And not having to get Josh up and have him fresh going into the series is big as well.
Yeah, we are going to hear from Manny Pena before we get done tonight as, again, the Brewers get the 9-3 victory. And you heard Council talk about Shaw there. It's a shin, not the ankle. It's the shin. So that may turn out to be okay. It's day-to-day for him. Yelich, back tight, lower back tightness. It's something then that he's going to have to fight through. And he's had some back issues in the past, so no huge surprise there. But, boy, they need the batting champion and the former MVP and all that. They need him in there and swinging well to get where they want to go. Craig Counsell made a comment yesterday that said, to be a good offensive team, Keston Hira is a critical part of that. And he is. It didn't surprise us with the day off today because of a ground ball pitcher. And think about the play they just, you know, dissected there against Yardley when it was the comebacker. It goes to Vogelbach, and then you know, Jace Peterson is kind of talking Vogie through the actual back end of that double play. It does make you wonder what would have happened if Keston Hira had the baseball in his hand at that point. Just run all the way and try and tag him yourself, Keston. Don't throw that baseball. But you know, that's one of the reasons why Craig Counsell is making good decisions. Again, ground ball pitcher, Brett Anderson and Hauser back-to-back. Look for Keston Hira to take probably at least one of those days off, at least in the early going here, I should say. One of those games, he's going to sit. And then you've got some right-handed thump off the bench when you're in that situation. I'm going to hear, as I said, from Manny Pena coming up. Also, Brett Anderson and Travis Shaw. Who couldn't be happy for Travis Shaw right now? Doing what he's doing. We'll check some of the numbers for Travis. And we're going to hear from Travis Shaw up next here. It's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show. Driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Don't underestimate a 5-4 mark, guys. It is good based on the competition, based on just the starting of this 2021 championship season. It's a decent mark considering. We'll be back on 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
Let's find out what happened in today's game from the guys that played it. Let's head inside the clubhouse presented by Windows Select. Right now, buy one, get one free. Plus, no payments for an entire year. Call them today at 262-703-3500.
All right, welcome back. Brewers get the victory today. They take the game in the series and end up with the series victory, 2-1. They end up with the road trip at 4-2, 2-3 in both Chicago and St. Louis. And we'll hear from Travis Shaw in just a second here. But as I said before the break, I mean, how can you not be happy for this guy? What he did in 17 and 18 and then 19 hits. And, boy, it was difficult. It was rather disturbing to see that. But now you look at a .308 batting average, .577 slugging percentage, .934 OPS. You have a .357 on base. He's got two homers, 10 RBIs, playing an absolute stellar defense. Now, if you look at the situation with Travis Shaw compared to the Orlando Arcia trade, were those two things connected? The play of Shaw and then the trade of Arcia? I don't think so. But you know, the more we get distanced from that trade, I'm still trying to figure it out. I mean, two things. One is they may have needed the pitchers, the bullpen arms, guys that are major league ready, that could get the call at any time. If Yardley continues to blow up, if Rasmussen continues to blow up. Okay, so I get that there. Oh, I also would get the Orlando Arcia behind the scenes ask for a trade. Very difficult to retain an employee that doesn't want to be there.
You guys know that from any form of work. You don't want to be there, then do we want you? So that, okay, I would understand both those two concepts of the trade. But what's curious to me is the depth part of this, and then who's going to play third base when it comes time for to face a tough lefty if Travis is going to sit, and you could have started Orlando Arcia there. I'm probably going to be Robertson, I would think. And then you get to really my final point on that. Wouldn't someone possibly overpay for Arcia come July? Where guys, you know, injuries happen, lack of production, off years for some of these guys, a pennant race team, whoever it might be. Maybe they overpay come July 1st through the 30th. It's just something to think about. There's just more to it than that. It can't be just the Travis Shaw play. In other words, Travis is fine. Don't need Orlando anymore. Let's move him. I think it's a lot more than that. There's something else to that. And to me, it just didn't make a lot of sense. The timing of it didn't make a lot of sense. But things are done, and we'll see how things turn out. That does lend me to take a close, hard look at Luis Urias. And, you know, whether or not it was the philosophy was good to just give him shortstop and just, hey, no pressure, just go out there and do your thing. We got to keep a close eye on Luis Urias. And certainly not Travis Shaw, because as I said, dude is gaming, and that's what he's doing. And that is just such a pleasant, do I call it a surprise? I think so. Based on a .239 average last year and what he hit his final year in Milwaukee, like a .160 or something like that. So it is awesome to see Travis Shaw doing what he's doing thus far through the 9 games. Here's Travis Shaw after the Brewers win.
Hey, Travis, can you first just update us on how you're feeling?
Yeah, a little sore, but should be good to go tomorrow as long as it doesn't blow up on the flight. Got my ankle pretty good, so but overall, not terrible.
Travis, sometimes momentum doesn't carry over from game to game, but the offense finished hot yesterday and then picked it right back up today, particularly you and Avi. You must feel like the offense is moving in the right direction now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, big first inning right there, getting 4 runs in the first is huge. Kind of kept the line moving that whole inning. And anytime you can score that many in the top of the first kind of settles everybody into the game a little bit. And we poured some more on in the second and got them out of there quick. And pitching held on, so good day.
Does it worry you about Yelly? You know, he's had that back before.
I mean, it's something that, like you said, it's happened before. I mean, he knows it better than I do. I don't know the severity of it. He seemed in good spirits after the game, so I don't think it would be super severe. So I don't think it should be anything we have to worry about.
You and Andy had worked on some adjustments during spring training that you felt pretty good about. Can you share just how you've seen that pay off with the results that you've been getting here early? Like, just what the difference with the adjustment was that you think is working?
Yeah, it was just the setup and kind of the first movement. Posture-wise, I'm standing. I'm trying to stay a little bit taller with that first movement. And it's a very simple thought process for me, which makes everything like kind of just fall into place. I'm not worried about a couple different things or mechanics or anything. It's really honestly just the setup and the first movement, and everything else kind of has always taken care of itself when I've gotten to that position. And that's the adjustment we made in spring training. And for me, it's just kept everything super simple so far this year. And it's easy to correct and easy to feel what I need to feel. And it's helped tremendously so far at the start of the year.
Travis, we've heard from many hitters who work with Andy that little taller is a common thing that they work on. What do you get from that as a hitter?
It just cleans up the path. I know for me personally, when I'm a little bit more hunched over, that first movement kind of dips the shoulder in. There's just not a lot of freedom in my swing, and I fight. I'm a bigger guy, so I fight kind of my upper body and kind of the area in here. And with me staying taller, it's just, it's freed up the path. It's freed up my direction, and it's made everything a lot easier and definitely more explosive through that swing.
And Travis, you mentioned the pitching before. That this last turn through the rotation, those guys, I mean, basically allowed nothing. What do you think that bodes for the team moving forward?
I mean, all year the pitching's been incredible. I mean, offensively, we started off a little bit slow. I think we could have a better record than we do just because of how poorly we swung the bats early in the season. But if that pitching keeps pitching like that, we're going to be in a really good spot come the end of the season. So offensively, we finally picked it up a little bit to back the pitching, but they've been lights out from the beginning, and I don't see any reason why it's going to change. I mean, our starters have been incredible, so as long as everything stays like that, we're going to be in pretty much every single game every night.
Anybody else, Travis?
Travis, I know you weren't here last year, but Avi had kind of a tough year. He's probably told you all about it, but he's had some electric swings these last few days, and if he gets going, the middle of the lineup can be really good, can it?
Yeah, I mean, he's got insane power. I mean, if he pulls it and he backspins it, you just see what happens. I mean, it's pretty impressive. And he doesn't BP. He doesn't do it a lot in BP, but when he does, it's like it's in there. So when he gets into a little groove like he seems like he's in right now, it lengthens the lineup. It's another threat to kind of go deep at any point during the game. And just kind of helps settle guys into their spots in the lineup.
Yeah, no question about it. There's Travis Shaw, and I will say also, not only Garcia, but Keston critical. I think Travis Shaw is pretty critical if this team is going to be a good offensive team. Now, again, we have yet to determine whether this team is ultimately going to be considered, quote, a good offensive team. But you just heard Travis Shaw reiterate what we've been talking about on this show. If the offense doesn't struggle out of the chute, they have at least another victory or two. They do. It's that simple. The pitching's been that good. You know, a lot of these games are these nip and tuck games. It's, you're fighting these games. A 3-1 loss the other night to the Cardinals. And, you know, you're right there. You put up some offensive numbers, you're going to win that ball game. And so I would say that guys like Shaw, Keston Hira, Garcia, it does lengthen that lineup. Now, it does concern me, and again, I got to be honest here, that when you have a Peterson, Pena, Urias pitcher spot, I'm like, okay. You know, it just doesn't jump off the sheet at you. But again, you know, maybe you get these guys that pitch in like Pena today. And I'm not picking on any of these guys in particular, but you know, when you see half that lineup, when you see four spots of your 9-man offensive lineup, now granted one's a pitcher, obviously, but you know, these other three guys, it just maybe the lineup needs to settle in a little bit, and a mix and match thing as Craig Counsell moves along here, he's going to find a recipe. And it looks like he's starting to do that. Lorenzo Cain is a key point in that, especially with Wong out. Where does he, you know, where does he fit? Is he a platoon type guy? He's making $20 million a year. He is the clubhouse leader. He does perform, and there's still plenty of gas left in that tank. It looks like he's swinging the bat very well these days. No question about it. And you just wonder if you just leave him alone there at the top of the lineup. All right, I mentioned Manny Pena. We're going to hear from Manny in just a couple of minutes. He mentions the Eagles song that he likes to sing, that and more. Coming up next here, Sapella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Brewers get the victory today. They win the game and the series in St. Louis. We'll be back on 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
Where did this one turn? It's time for the turning point of the game. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, on The Fan.
Pena to left, and look at this one fly way back. Manny Pena, three-hit day, his first home run of 2021, and there's some insurance runs for you.
It took a while.
Yeah, big insurance for the crew today with Manny Pena, and I think it's made even bigger because you got an opportunity there, or at least Council did, to get Drew Rasmussen in there to pitch that ninth inning and work a little, a few bugs out of Drew Rasmussen's early going here in the 2021 championship season. That highlight and all the highlights from Valley Sports Wisconsin. Greg Cashon, Bill Schroeder on the calls today. And we talk about the turning point. Was that really a turning point in the victory? You could say that maybe a four bat around four-run first inning could have been it. And I think Travis Shaw, a three-run shot in the second inning, well, that could have been it. Maybe the homer by Garcia, a two-run shot. Yeah, could be. But no. I think the turning point came from Manny Pena, and he alludes to the fact of what he did prior to the game.
Hey, we miss you guys in the clubhouse, man. I see you Hotel California today before the game.
Isn't that great? There's your turning point. I had to, once everything clears out, I had to grab a guitar and play Hotel California, and he could sing it. Now that would be comical. Manny Pena, 3-for-4, a walk today, a single, double, a two-run home run, and for some reason, there's a little bit of a heartbeat that Manny Pena provides to this baseball team, and I think oftentimes we just, in our conversations, we just throw in that, oh, there's Manny Pena. And I can tell you on a personal note that over the years that he's been here, he is one of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet in that room. So you mass the whole Brewers team in the clubhouse. I don't know if there's anybody nicer. Austin, you were in there with me a few times. I mean, Manny Pena is one of the best dudes on the planet.
Yeah, and you can just hear it in the way he talks. He's just very genuine when he speaks to you. It's awesome. He's a great guy to have in the clubhouse, especially after losing a clubhouse guy like Garcia. I think it's guys like Pena that are going to help pick that up.
Yeah, no question. And it also, Omar Narvaez isn't going to, you know, catch every game. And so you've got the defensive skills in Pena, but you also, he's been known to come up big for you and win a game or two for you.
Especially on holidays.
Absolutely. Let's go back into the clubhouse and catch what Manny had to say after his big day.
Hey, Manny, the offense has really perked up here these last two games, haven't they? It must feel good for the bats to start contributing.
Yeah, the last two games, this thing is coming hot, man. It's good. Like, if we win the series in Cup, if we win the series here, and now we go back home for six games, it's good for us to start the game home like that with that confidence.
Manny, what do you think about the pitching you're seeing so far, and how important is that for what you guys want to do this year?
Our pitching staff is doing very good, man. And Anderson was little wall in the first two innings, but after that, he make a good adjustment with the slider and breaking ball, change up, and that's what having a good success. And the guy, Hader, William, JP, he doing so good, man. He doing a very impressive job. So those guys like that, even Rosmo, man, I think he needed like pitch like that today, like a confidence. When he come back, he throws more what he got.
Manny, what are you seeing differently from JP this year?
I think it's the confidence, man. I think he trusts a lot what he have. He trusts what finger I put. He trusts like fastball, even if it's lighter, he can throw a slider in any count, change a righty with righty. So I think that's the big thing for him, the confidence he have in the mound.
Manny, bro, was mad at himself for walking those guys in the second inning with a big lead. But once Edmund hit that liner to Shaw, he really settled in better after that, didn't he?
Say it again. Can you?
Yeah. When Anderson was struggling with his command in the second inning, he got that line drive out by Edmund to Shaw, and he seemed to settle.
Yes, better. That was huge. That was a big out, man. Like a second inning, bases loaded. like hard, like I said, first inning he was a little struggling and make it that inning like that. So it's good because he rests a little bit in the dugout and now he come back to the third inning with more confidence.
Hey Manny, how different does Avisail look this year? Avi Garcia, I mean, he's swinging the bat a lot better.
Yeah. He's swinging so good. So that's the Avi I know before he come here. So he got big bat. He can hit a homer. He produced a lot of runs. So those guys like a Travis Shaw, Avisail, Lorenzo Cain, Yelich, is top lineup, man. It's hard to beat us with the our pitching stuff. I think it's the other thing is gonna be. I mean, it's tough to be off right now.
Manny, how important is it for each of you individually to, you know, have good days like you did today and have success just for the whole lineup to get going, you know, for each of you to have confidence?
Yeah. It's like that when somebody start hitting well, I think it's like everybody start hitting good too. So it's like you hitting base C, I hit base C, the other hitting homer. So everybody's compact. So everybody start hitting well. Everybody start playing much better. And that's what we do last two games. I think we scored 18 runs in two games. So that's what the Brewers do, is scoring a lot of runs. And I think it's with the pitcher staff and the offense we have right now, that compact is going to be hard for us. It's going to be a tough. Yeah.
All right, thanks a lot, Manny. Thank you, everybody.
All right, there he is, Manny Pena, one of the nicest guys you're going to meet. And you're happy for him with a day like today. We'll check the box score in just a couple of minutes here as the Brewers get a 9-3 victory. You heard him allude to the fact that the last couple of days, 18 runs, 9 yesterday, 9 today. That's 18 runs in two games, the first 7 games of this season. Well, the Brewers offense scored 20 total runs. So nice to see these guys getting back on track a little bit. And yeah, there would be probably some understanding in, you know, maybe an offensive chemistry standpoint to, you know, find themselves a little bit. But we all know that the early stages here, you know, they needed to hit better. No question about that. And they have as of late, and we'll see if that carries over into a 3-game set against the Cubs. Pitching's been dynamite one time through the rotation. Last 5 starts, just 1 total earned run given up. And that was today by Brett Anderson. Let's hear from Brett Anderson, the Brewers lefty, after the win.
Brett, especially as a contact guy, how much did those 7 runs help you go out there and kind of do your thing?
Yeah, I mean, it was good. Obviously, the offense clicking on all cylinders. A little tough getting the rhythm there, but obviously it's a good problem to have with the runs. But, yeah, not the prettiest outing by any stretch, but be able to grind through 5 and, you know, keep it at 1. And, you know, like I said, not ideal, but I'll take it. Still early.
Brett, the second inning, was it just a matter of, like, I mean, you had to sit for a while. While all that offense was happening, was it just a matter of, like, rhythm for you that affected the command?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the first 2 were a little lengthy, but like I said, I'd rather have it that way than not. And so, yeah, just the walks shouldn't happen, but they did, and I was able to limit it to 1. Edmund squared up a ball right at Shaw, and so able to limit the damage there and then kind of settle in and make some better quality pitches and have a more efficient, you know, 3rd, 4th, 5th.
Brett, you pitchers have been saying throughout the first week the offense was eventually going to break out with all those hitters, and they've done it 2 days in a row now. You think now they can relax and just play their game?
Yeah, I mean, we had some really good at-bats today, did some damage with the home runs. It was fun to watch.
Brett, how much does it throw off your preparation and routine when you pick up a bat before you throw your first pitch of the day?
Yeah, I don't really anticipate that, but like I said, it's a good problem to have, and you'd rather have it that way than not. But, yeah, for somebody that likes to work quick and be efficient, you know, you just got to get used to it a little bit. But, yeah, you don't really anticipate hitting in the first inning, but, you know, it happened.
Brett, you were a couple walks and a ground out from a whole turn through the rotation without allowing an earned run. What do you think of just the group you in sort of the thing with the 5 of you have going right now?
Well, I'm not real thrilled to hear that. I wish I couldn't have ruined that streak. But, no, I mean, the way the starters, you know, I kind of did my deal today, but the rest of the guys have been phenomenal with the strikeouts and the stuff they have is, you know, phenomenal. And so you get on a roll and you try to pass the baton on to the next guy. And, you know, hopefully we can keep that going, you know, offense and defense and, you know, clicked on all cylinders and I was able to do my part. And so, yeah, I mean, it's fun to be a part of.
But this capped a successful road trip too. You take 2 out of 3 in both cities and a nice recovery from losing that series at home.
Yeah. I mean, we're able to get back on track, had some quality pitching, quality hitting, and, yeah, it's a good road trip. If you can win series on the road, that's always a good thing for sure.
Yeah, I will echo that sentiment right there. You win, especially in Chicago and St. Louis, in division here in the Central. There's Brewers left-hander Brett Anderson as the Brewers get the victory today, 9-3. We'll check out some of the numbers in this one as you know, a couple of replacements here, Yelich with the back and Travis Shaw with the shin, but no causes for major concern when you put up 9 runs yesterday and 9 runs today. You heard Manny Pena also talk about the offense. You heard Travis Shaw say, you know, keeping the line moving. I like that sentiment as well. As the Brewers get the victory today, we'll check out the numbers next. The Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Big, big win for the crew. We'll be back on 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
Who stood out in tonight's game for the crew? Who didn't have such a great night? Let's find out the answers as we go inside the box. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove.
9-3, the final. Brewers get the victory today to take the series. Final couple of minutes of the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. And I do have some history out at Great Lakes Dragway. I do want to let you know it's a great time, first of all. But they have, you guys want to, you know, rip up and down Highway 100. Now, there's a much safer and more fun way to do those things. And that's at the stock night. You can log on to greatlakesdragway.com, get all the track details there. But we used to do that as younger dudes going out to Union Grove and just, you know, just racing cars down, cracking engine blocks because we're just having so much fun. But that's all part of it. And I guess over the years, the band has played there a handful of times too. So a lot of fun out at Great Lakes Dragway. Weather's going to be better. It's going to be outdoor activities, so you can do your social distancing. You want to wear a mask outside, and then that's your deal. Throw one on and go have some fun at Great Lakes Dragway. Let's check out the numbers going inside the box here today. Lorenzo Cain leading off, goes 1-for-4 with a run scored. He also drew a walk in this one. Daniel Vogelbach, 1-for-4, 1 RBI, 2 runs scored. He also drew a walk. A lot of patience by this offense today. Christian Yelich, before he was removed from the game due to back tightness, 1-for-2 with a run scored. Jackie Bradley Jr. goes 1-for-3. Avi Garcia, 1-for-5, 2 runs scored, 2 RBIs with the 2-run shot. Travis Shaw, 1-for-2, 3 knocked in, 2 runs scored, 1 walk. Robertson goes 0-for-2. Manny Pena, have a day, 3-for-4 with a couple of RBIs, a couple of runs scored. He also drew a walk. Jace Peterson, 0-for-4 with a walk. Luis Urias, 0-for-3 with 2 walks. Brett Anderson, 0-for-2 with a walk that drove in a run. That was an at-bat where he's up 3-0, takes a couple of strikes, and then just watches and hopes and probably, in all honesty, probably should have been a strikeout right there, but we'll take it. That extended that Brewers lead at that time to 4-0. Pitching line, speaking of Brett Anderson, he goes 5 innings, allows 5 hits, just 1 run. It was earned, a couple of walks and 1 strikeout. Eric Yardley, ouch, 1 inning, 2 hits, 2 runs, both earned with a walk and no strikeouts. J.P. Feiereisen does it again. 1 inning, no hits, no runs, a walk.
Boxberger, one inning, no runs, no hits, no walks, and one strikeout. Drew Rasmussen, this is a much-needed outing for him. One inning, no runs, just one hit, and a strikeout, no walks. The Brewers today, they get 9 runs on 9 hits with 1 error. Cardinals, 3 runs on 8 hits with 1 error. The win goes to Brett Anderson. He is now 1-1. The loss to Ponce de Leon, he is 1-1. To check the attendance, you got to go 32% of capacity at Busch Stadium. So you guys can do the math on that. 32%. I find that interesting. Not 35, not 30, but 32 at Busch. Well, the Brewers are back home tomorrow. They fire up a 3-game set right back into the soup here in some division play in the Central. The Cubs in town. A 6:40 first pitch. After the last pitch, you make the switch right here. We'll be talking Brewers baseball on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Big-time victory for the crew today, and it is big. Austin will be talking about this narrative, if you will. Every year, and I think every year I do talk about this, and that is, these games count as much as they do in July before the trade deadline. These games count in August. A lot of people say a pennant race starts on August 15th. Not in my book. This year it started April 1st, and the Brewers are 5-4. Stiff competition here, Austin. Are you scoreboard watching?
Not necessarily scoreboard watching. I'm keeping an eye on where we sit in the standings, mm-hmm. But I'm not necessarily concerned about, you know, game to game right now for these other teams. I'm more so looking at where we sit in the standings, because like you said, every game counts. So, I mean, a win now is just as good as a win in September. So I'll take all of them that we can get.
Yeah, it is. And it's against division foes here, and that just elevates it a little bit more than that. And they're right back, as I said, in division. 3-game set against the Cubs before an off day on Thursday, and then the Pirates in town. The Brewers at home all week long, obviously playing every day but Thursday. And tailgaters are back. I want to hear from you guys after the game tomorrow, those that did tailgate. You guys have a great rest of your weekend, what's left of it tonight. And I'll see you tomorrow after the ball game for Austin, Texas. My name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great night. And remember, as always, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.